God bless you, and thank you for listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. Today is the 27th day of August, 2006, and you are listening to our Sunday morning broadcast. We have special music today from the Patrick family, and then from Miss Brenda Waterloo. And then our pastor, Dr. John Waterloo, will bring the sermon today from the first book of Chronicles, Worshiping God. The entire congregation of Central Baptist Church joins me in saying to you, wherever you are at in the world, listening to our broadcast, Jesus loves you, and so do we. God bless you, and thank you for listening.
Story of the prodigal son, how he left to find his own way. Then he found out later he deceived himself and determined that he would not stay. We've heard a lot of preaching and singing on the matter, and I'm happy he decided to change. But without the open arms at the end of the road, his decision would have been in vain.
What about the prodigal's father? What about the grace he showed? What about his love and forgiveness when the prodigal came back home? What about the prodigal's father came a-running to meet his son? What about a great celebration when the prodigal's journey was done? What about the prodigal's father came a-running to meet his son? What about a great celebration when the prodigal's journey was done? What about the prodigal's father? What about the prodigal's father?
The story in the Bible could have been about me. I was given this world a try. I was hanging by a thread at the end of the rope. I was trying so hard to climb.
Then I finally made a choice, gave up and came home. Was there ever really any doubt? My father would be waiting, and that's the real meaning of the story that we're talking about. What about the prodigal's father? What about the grace he showed? What about his love and forgiveness when the prodigal came back home? What about the prodigal's father came a-running to meet his son? What about a great celebration when the prodigal's journey was done? What about the prodigal's father came a-running to meet his son? What about a great celebration when the prodigal's journey was done? What about the prodigal's father? What about the prodigal's father? What about the prodigal's father? What about the grace he showed? What about his love and forgiveness when the prodigal came back home? What about the prodigal's father came a-running to meet his son? What about a great celebration when the prodigal's journey was done? What about the prodigal's father came a-running to meet his son? What about a great celebration when the prodigal's journey was done? What about the prodigal's father? What about the prodigal's father? What about the prodigal's father? Ooh.
gates, they are trembling from these saints' prayers ascending, and darkness, it is crumbling from the praise.
Go ahead and stand as we take a look at 1 Chronicles 16. I will challenge you to take some time to read chapter 15 and 16, maybe later on in the week. Time's sake won't allow us to do that this morning, as want to be conscientious of your time as well. We spent some good time praising the Lord, giving testimony of the Lord, and now we'll spend a few minutes in His Word as we close our final Sunday morning service out here at the church building here. And like I said, we will meet tonight and Wednesday as well. And excited about that, taking the Lord's Supper Wednesday night, as we just thank the Lord once again and praise His name, and then ask to take that spirit that He's given us all the way over to the next location, and the next location after that. So you want to be a part of those festivities and celebrations as well. David here in 1 Chronicles 16, though, begins in verse 7 to write a psalm of praise. And he actually borrows from three other psalms that were already written and compiles them together here. Like I said, time would not allow us to read all of them, so I'm going to skip parts here. But beginning of verse 7, it says, "And on that day David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name, let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord." Turn now, if you would, to verse 23. Says, "Sing unto the Lord, all the earth, show forth from day to day his salvation. Declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all nations. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Glory and honor are in his presence, strength and gladness are in his place. Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in beauty of holiness." Lord, we come to you now and we thank you, Lord. As verse 34 says, "Oh, give thanks." Lord, today as we talk about a thankful heart, Lord, we've already heard the great testimonies of some of the things that you have done here in the last 50 years, Lord, working in different members' lives And Lord, we thank you for all the memories and all the blessings that have taken place, Lord. We do not take that for granted. But Lord, we realize that it is not a location, it is a person. It is a person of Jesus Christ and the person of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that resides within each one of us, Lord, who have accepted you. And Lord, it is that person that we will take with us wherever we go. And Lord, as we gather together, Lord, in your name, we believe and trust, Lord, that the same blessings, the same miracles, the same great truths, Lord, that we've come to know through your word, we will find in any location that you lead us. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to follow you, Lord, and to take this wonderful journey. Bless us now, we pray, as we stay faithful to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You know, as I look at this, it was interesting as we've been going over all summer the issue of our heart towards God. And we've talked about out of the heart come all the issues of life. And that is so true. It really does. And as we began to discuss that, we've kind of I set up a series at the beginning of the summer and just kind of wrote down what we'd preach each week and so forth. And it's just interesting the way God works things out. Now we're coming to the last one. And interesting enough, we're going to be talking about a thankful heart. And I thought, man, what a perfect time to talk about a thankful heart. I love this story here, and if we had time to go back and read all of it, it actually has some sorrow involved in it. We actually, in chapter 15 and 16, get the joyful part, but it actually comes from an event that took place in 2 Samuel chapter 6. David had decided to move the Ark of God. That Ark of God represented the very presence of God, the very power of God. And where the Ark of God was, the presence and power of God was. It was a physical representation of God at the point. And so they would carry that ark as that representation, and God would move and so forth accordingly. So David decided when he took over king to bring it into the city. So they got everybody together, and they decided, let's go move it. And they began to move the ark, but instead of doing it the way God had said in the Old Testament, they put it with a couple of oxen and on a cart, and it was going down the old bumpy road, and it began to tip over. And one of the men doing a very wonderful thing reached up, his name was Uzzah, and he held the ark and he stabilized it. You'd say, well, congratulations, praise God. You just saved probably the greatest artifact in Jewish history. I mean, the very presence and power of God rests upon this object. Wow. And everybody said, bravo, Uzzah. The only problem is God didn't see it that way. In actuality, God killed Uzzah right there on the spot and he died. If you go back and read the story, David got upset. David didn't understand. He got mad at God. And he stopped the proceedings. Matter of fact, everybody got afraid and said, who can move this? And they began to take it over and they went to Obed-Edom's. A gentleman that was there, and they asked if they could place this in his house. And naturally he said, well, sure, go ahead. What transpired from there was a wonderful thing. His house was blessed more than any other house in all of Israel. I mean, they were scared to death now of the ark, but every time they heard reports, Obed-Edom's house was just, I mean, growing, and he was getting rich and prospering, and great things were happening. And David began to scratch his head and go, I don't get it. Finally, though, praise God, he got into the Word of God. And he went back and he began reading, and he had the priest come, and they began reading and saying, well, actually, we did it wrong. We did it wrong. You see, only the priest could carry the ark. Well, why? Well, let me tell you why. Because God said so. By the way, let me help you with the question why. Why do things happen a certain way? Why does God make us do a certain thing? Let me help you. I don't know. Just God says so. Kind of like when I was growing up, I never got to say why in my home. There is no whys in our home. We live in a different generation. Today, kids go, why? 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 Take out the trash. Why? Turn off the TV. Why? Man, I'd do that one time at home and I'd be dead. My dad was like, I'll tell you why, because I said so. You know, now we're like, oh, you can't do that today. Probably be good if we went back to that today. I'll tell you that right now. And so we didn't question why, because dad said so. Why? He was the authority. What if he was wrong? Never crossed our mind. If he was right now. I'll tell you that right now. Why? He's in charge. And so here it was, you know, the why was, hey, God said this way. I want the priest to do it. They're holy. They're sanctified. This is an object that I have set apart and sanctified for me. You will do it this way. And David said, man, I got it. Well, chapter 15, they figured it out. They said, let's go get it. And they brought the priests. And you go to chapter 15, he brought all these priests, all these singers, all these cymbals. And they had one of the biggest parties ever in the history of Israel. And I mean, all of Israel came out and they paraded the ark all the way to the city of David, known as Jerusalem. And there they sang and they rejoiced and they partied. And the Bible says, if you go back and read, David gave everybody some bread and a large portion of meat and a flagon of wine. And everybody just had everything they wanted. It was a great day of rejoicing. Why? Because God's presence was going to be with them. When they were there, David compiled this psalm and put it together and they read it. And it was basically a psalm of thanksgiving and praise unto God for all that he has done. He began, if you go back, we read just a couple of verses. He says in verse 9 and even later on in verse 23 and throughout, it says, sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. If you back up, you'll find out in chapter 15, all they did is sing the whole way. I mean, you can imagine the cymbals were playing and the priests were playing and there was just a sound of rejoicing. And by the way, can I just say, you know why we sing at church? See, you may think we sing at church as filler time. We don't sing at church as filler time. I'd rather preach 45 minutes or an hour. You know, they just don't let me. Okay? You know, so you say, why? You know why we sing? Because God says he loves it when his people raise their voice up to him. And you say, but I can't sing good. We know that. We can hear that, okay? But we don't stop you. You say, why? I mean, you know what God wants? God, if he wants you to sing good, would give you a good voice. Amen? I mean, think about it. He gave you the voice you have. If he wanted you to sing good, he'd give it. But just because he didn't give you the voice that you think's the best in the world or as good as the Patricks or Brenda or anybody else that sings at Central Baptist Church, of course we don't have voices at that level. But guess what? We still should sing praises to God. Why? He loves it. You want to show God that you're thankful to him? You want to show praise to him? David in chapter 15 and 16 said, you know how you do it? Sing praise to God. You ought to be singing in your car, singing at your house, singing in the church. Why? Because you're lifting up the name of Almighty God. Songs come in various forms. Some are ballad type, telling a story. Kind of like the Patrick sang today, talking about the prodigal son father and reminding you of that. But they're all designed to remind you of great things that God has done for us and great principles in the Word of God. And they're all designed as we sing to him, we're literally praising him for what he's done. We don't praise ourselves. Is that the singer? That's why we sing different here at Central Baptist Church. You don't see our singers up there just waving, jumping around, you know. It's not an entertainment show. Why? We're not here to entertain you. We're just singing to Almighty God. It's the whole purpose of what singing in church takes place. Fact of the matter is, you need to understand that every time you come into the house of God, every time that you're at home, you should forget about yourself. You should take the hymn book. You should take the words that are written. And from a heart of thanksgiving and praise, you are to sing. You know, each of the songs that were chosen this morning were chosen by me on purpose. How great thou art. You know why? Because God is great. As we sang them, I'm saying, hey, man, how great thou art. Man, what a wonderful God. Amazing grace. Why'd you choose that one? Think about it. Aren't you saved by the grace of God? Amen. Hasn't he been gracious to Central Baptist Church for all these years? You bet he has. We didn't just arbitrarily say, well, let's open the book and wherever it falls. No. There's purpose behind. It is well with my soul. When peace like a river. What are you saying? God's given us great peace about what's taking place. We're singing to him. Oh, God, thank you for the peace. It is well with our soul. No matter what happens, I want you to understand that, folks, if we're going to have a thankful heart, we need to sing unto God. We need to start lifting up our voices and praise to Almighty God. And quit being ashamed. I believe when people walk in Central Baptist Church, they shouldn't be awed by the quality of the sound. They should be awed by the participation of God's people lifting their voice to him. Every one of us should just sing out from our heart, not caring what anybody else thinks, but just singing from our heart, making melody to the Lord. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Ephesians. The Bible tells us about this a couple times, and I want to make sure you understand this. Ephesians 5:19, real quick. Ephesians 5:19, if you... There are Bibles in front of you if you need one. The black books are Bibles. And if you forgot your Bible this morning or need one or share with someone next to you, but look what the Bible says in Ephesians 5:19. Repeats it in Colossians 3:16, but Ephesians 5:19, the Bible says this, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. I like that. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, if you're around me long enough, I like to sing. If you're around me long enough, you know I can't sing. It is true. Most of the people in the office tell me to please be quiet or they close their doors. You say, do you stop singing? Not on your life. If you're around me long enough, you know I make up my own words. Why? I usually forget all the other words. You say, what do you think about that? I really think nothing about it. Most of the time, I think my songs are better, to tell you the truth. They're my songs. So I'll pick a tune and sing away. Why? Man, I just believe you ought to rejoice the Lord, make a melody in your heart to God. I really do. Thankfulness. Oh, I believe we need to have a thankful heart. A.W. Tozer put it this way. Thankfulness or gratitude is an offering precious in the sight of God. It is one that the poorest of us can make and be not poorer but richer for having made it. Wow. Gratitude is something the poorest among us can give unto God and not be poorer for giving it to God, but be richer, be greater because we gave to God. You not think Almighty God wants to be appreciated? I believe he does. As David here gave the psalm singing about God and how great God is, how wonderful God is, and began with his heart just to lift up God and lead the whole nation to God in a sign of gratitude. You not think that God was up there and just with a smile of joy, you say, does God smile? Do you smile? You're made in the image of God. You bet God smiles. And he's up there smiling as the whole nation of Israel is lifting up their voice and they're just praising God in gratitude from the rich to the poor, all just humbling themselves, saying, God is a great God. God needs to be praised. That God is smiling and saying, I like that. I like that. You want to show your gratitude to God? Let me help you out. First thing you ought to do is learn to sing unto God. Learn to have a heart that praises God through their sings. He did many other things there. He not only thanked God through his song, he thanked God for his provisions. If we go back to 1 Chronicles 16 and we're to read all the way throughout there, so many things he talked about in here that, like I said, we're not going to have time to go all the way through. But he went down and thanked God for his provisions, his covenant with Abraham, the way he took care of them. And man, you could expand that to the wilderness and the manna and all that God did. I believe he did that because he wanted to remind God that they knew all that God had done for them. I don't know about you, but you ever do something for somebody and don't you like it when they appreciate it? Or don't you like it when they show a little bit of gratitude? You know, nothing's more disgusting than to give something to somebody, maybe a child, you know, and you plan and plan, you give something to your child, and they open it up and go, oh, thanks. Then they set it down and go on their way. I don't know about you, that does something for me. What it does for me is, first of all, I'm thinking, you ain't getting nothing for the rest of your life. Something just bows up, you know, oh, you ain't happy? Oh, I'll make you happy, you know. I'm thinking, you know, I'm just human, you know. But can you imagine God, all the blessings he gives us, and he just kind of pours down upon us these blessings, and all he wants is a little bit of gratitude. I remember the story of one pastor told that he was visiting in a veterans hospital, and he said, it's really pretty bad situation there. And the dad was up in one of the units, and he was quarantined, so his child, his young son, couldn't come in. And he happened to be visiting that day that the mom came with the son to kind of wave to dad and kind of talk through a glass situation, almost like a prison situation. It came time for them to leave. Well, the dad, in the time they were sitting there in the hospital, had taken some wood and he had carved out a little bitty car. And he wrapped it up and he had to give it to the orderly to give to his son. So they were leaving. His dad had forgotten, said, oh, man. So he got the orderly and said, hey, could you make sure you run down and give this to my son? Tell him it's for me. He said, sure. So orderly ran down and, you know, gave it to the son. And dad was up there on the fifth story looking out the window and just kind of pacing back and forth. And the guy, actually more the nurse, stopped him and gave him the little car. And you can see the boy opening it up. And, man, he just grabbed the car. He was so excited. And he just hugged the car. And then he sat it down. And he went over to the nurse and gave the nurse a big old hug. And he's just hugging the nurse. And the pastor, who was still up there with the dad, said, you could just see the dad. He's up there waving at the window, you know, pounding on it. And he's kind of like, hey, I gave you the gift, not him. You know, finally the nurse points up, you know, and the son, you know, of course, recognizes dad and says thank you and everything. He said, but you could see a tear just come into the dad's eyes when the son recognized, hey, that was for me. That's just a simple little story. But I thought, you know what? You don't think God, who's our Father, loves us so much that every time you stop and just recognize something that he's done for you, that there's just a soft spot in his heart where he says, thank you. Thank you. You know, we have so much living here today, do we not? God has blessed us in so many ways. I've thought about this even in this move and just with regular life and the way God provides. There's two ways to look at everything. You know, there's that old saying, your cup half full or half empty. You know, there's going to be some people that, you know, everything's half empty. You know, some of you are already thinking, I'm not going to get my same pew. I am so sorry. You know, it's already bothering, you know. Now, your biggest concern is, where am I going to sit? Some of you already were. Do I have to park down the street and walk a block? Is it worth it to go to church for a block? It's already crossing your mind, you know. And I have some of that's fun and sad part of some of it's serious for some people. But, you know, I thought, I said, you know, you can look at this so many different ways. Everything in life you can look. You can look at the fact of all the negative, all the pain, all the things that have come upon your life that God said would come because that's life. Or you can stop. And I believe what David was doing here. David didn't list Saul chastening. David didn't list all the people he lost in the battle with Saul. David didn't list all the negatives. You know all he listed? All the things God had done for him. You know what I believe today ought to be for us here at Central Baptist Church? This should be a day that we talk about nothing negative, nothing critical, nothing complaining. This is a day to praise the Lord. God has brought forth all that we've ever needed. From the inception of Central Baptist Church over 70 years ago, I don't know if you're aware of this, but Central Baptist Church began at the Ritz Theater. Isn't it ironic? 70 years later, we're going back to the Punkin Theater. It's about two blocks down the street from where we began. You don't think, it's ironic. Matter of fact, Jay Long reminded me of that. He goes, preacher, you know we started in a theater. I go, actually, I forgot about that. I wasn't born by then, so it didn't cross my mind. But just down Grand over the railroad tracks is where we began 70 years ago. Then God gives a place on Oak Street. Finally, people had some vision and built a place here. Praise God. And then 50 years later, now we're going to build. And can you imagine what the grandkids and the future church is going to say? And you know, some people, why are we moving, preacher? Because we still want to do something for Almighty God. God wants us to do this. He's opened the door. He's given us the property, the plans, and everything. And we're just going forward. And guess what? We need to thank God for that. We ought to thank God that His Spirit is still moving. We ought to thank God that people are getting saved. People are getting baptized. Babies are getting dedicated. And great things are happening. Why? Because God is alive. That's what today's about, folks. It's to thank God. It's not to mention some negative, critical thing. And I've not heard any of that. But it's to thank God. Why? Because there's just certain days that you just praise God. And guess what? This is one of those days. We ought to dedicate all day, tonight, even Wednesday, saying, what can we remember? What great things God has done for us. David does that. He sings, says, thank the Lord through song. Thank the Lord for what He's provided. But then, take a look at me, if you would, in verse 27. David says this, glory and honor are in His presence. Strength and gladness are in His place. Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. I'm going to talk for just a minute. If we're going to talk about thankfulness, I think one of the greatest ways, besides singing unto the Lord, thanking Him for His provisions, but I think one of the greatest ways that we can thank the Lord comes from verse 29 right there. I think we can thank the Lord by worshiping God. The Bible says we worship Him in spirit and in truth. You say, what do you mean, preacher? What is worship? I believe David here in his song and in his speech was worshiping Almighty God. Worship, first of all, deals with what we call a reverence, a respect. Look what he says. Give unto the Lord glory and honor, do His name, verse 29. You know God deserves honor and glory, His very name. You know the very name of Almighty God, Jesus Christ, Jehovah Jireh. His name deserves honor and glory. That is why you ought to be totally offended when God's name is used in vain anyway. When it becomes a curse word, it ought to offend you. Why? It is the greatest name on the face of the earth. No born-again believer should ever use God's name in any negative way. It is a sin to Almighty God. And we should not stand by as unbelievers use God's in an improper way. Why? It is the greatest name of respect anywhere in the world. You know, it's interesting to me. If the President of the United States were to come, whether you like him or not, doesn't matter. They would send their security guards ahead of time, the Secret Service, they'd prepare everything. And he would come in, and if he came to Central Baptist Church, and no, I don't have him scheduled in case you're wondering. But if he were to come to Central Baptist Church, Democrat or Republic would all be washed away. But when he walked in the building and he got ready to speak, everybody would stand up. You know why? It's a respectful thing to do. Out of respect for the office, you would stand up and you would give proper due reverence. Why? Because it's appropriate. I do weddings. I am married, so I'm not marrying anybody else, in case you're wondering. But when I do weddings, we always have everybody stand for the bride. Why? Out of respect. Out of reverence. Isn't it interesting that David here says, wait, give due reverence, respect. Give due honor unto the name of God. Do you understand that when we worship God, we are to give honor unto His name, reverence unto His name? And the greatest reverence that I can think of is we bow before Almighty God. We stand for mere humans, but we bow to Almighty God. And when you speak His holy name, you do it in a reverent way, a special way. David worshiped God by honoring His name. Do you honor God's name? Do you talk about the great Almighty God? Do you praise His name as you pray? You ought to. Why? Because He deserves respect above anybody else. I think I'm a sports fan, and I think of these sports guys that get millions of dollars for catching a ball, hitting a ball, kicking a ball, you know, and when we speak their name, it's like, oh. I mean, we just mention them. We're like, oh, they're so great. But sometimes we come to church and start talking about God, and people are like, oh. We're going to sing another song? Oh. How many times we got to sing today? Gosh. Is he still preaching from that book? Gosh, he's probably said the name of Jesus about 10 times today. I got that one down already. I mean, it's almost like we got this lackadaisical attitude towards God. Let me tell you something. When you walk into any place that we dedicate to worship God, there ought to be a reverence to Almighty God. Oh, we enjoy, we have gladness and joy when we come to worship God, but I'm telling you, there ought to be a respect for the very name of God. We worship Him. He goes on, he says, give honor unto His name. I looked at that worship. Worship means reverence, and we could spend the whole time there. Second thing I wrote down is worship includes public expression. If we had time to go back to Leviticus 7:12, if we had time to go back to 1 Chronicles 15 or 16, you'd find not only does worship mean reverence, it's a public expression. Interesting, he said, sing unto the Lord. He said, bring an offering unto the Lord. He said, lift up your voice before the Lord. Real worship is not a private thing. Understand this. Real worship is not a private thing. It is a public thing before Almighty God. We come together as a body, which Christ demanded that we do that. We come together as a group to lift up the name of God. And if you're going to worship or show somebody respect, you do it to them, in front of them, and in front of others. If I were to bring honor unto Brian today, if I were to go to his house and privately bring him a plaque, give him something, and never tell anybody about it, how much respect or honor would I really be giving him? Oh, but a greater form would be to bring him up on stage. And I give him this plaque. I give a little speech about him. And now everybody knows that, guess what? We are bringing honor unto Brian. Why do you think we come before church? By the way, why do you think you bring an offering to God? Oh, I got to pay for the lights and stuff, preacher. No. No. You do not sacrifice to God for that. You sacrifice to God because of who he is. He is God. Now, one time did I bring an offering before God going, well, it's my duty. I got to do this. No, I come saying, God, this is for you. Thank you. Every pagan religion brings an offering before God of some sort, a sacrifice that comes from their hands, from the work of their hands, from the field, something that they have made, something that they have earned, and they willingly bring it before Almighty God with joy. You know why? Because they're worshiping him, showing him reverence. One of the ways you show reverence is what you sacrifice and give unto your God. I ask you, what do you give unto your God today? He deserves it. David said, we bring sacrifice. You know what David did? If you go back into chapter 16 and 15, before they even marched out with the ark, they brought hundreds of bullocks and rams and lambs, and they sacrificed them before Almighty God. He then took from their own coffins of the government and gave everybody there something. He said, you know what? If we're going to worship God, and that will not only be joyful, but we're going to make it a sacrifice before Almighty God. Was it not David who said this statement? I will not give to my God anything that does not cost me something. He said, it will always cost me to give to my God. Why? Because my God has done so much for me. Let me tell you, you want to worship God? You reverence his name, but you sacrifice for him. You sacrifice. For many of us, you think, I am preacher, we're going to the pumpkin. Trust me, that won't be a sacrifice. Okay? Most of you, I'm going to have to yell louder so you don't fall asleep in the nice reclining chairs. I'm already worried about that. Really, what's the sacrifice? I mean, seriously, we think sacrifice so strange in America, what we consider sacrifice. Sacrifice is, what do I bring to my God? Worship includes a public expression. And finally, worship means service. The very root word of worship in both Testaments has this in mind. The word worship originally referred to the labor of slaves to a master. Can you think about that? The word worship meant a labor of a slave to a master. Ooh, don't be telling me that, preacher. You mean I'm to follow God like a slave? Yeah. Yeah. He did save you. He did remove all your sins. He is taking you to heaven. He does provide for all your needs. He does answer your prayer requests. He does give you what you have. He is who he is. You know what? You betcha. I can't think of a better person I want to be a slave to. You're either going to be a slave to God or a slave to Satan or a slave to yourself. You have a master, whether you like it or not. Oh, no one controls me, preacher. Everybody has a master. I've just chosen my master to be Jesus Christ. And so because of that, whatever his wish is, worship is, I mean, at his beckoning call, if he says jump, we say how high. If he says come, we get up and we run fast. Why? It's a sign of respect. It's a sign of worship. When David said, give unto the Lord due honor to his name and come and worship him, he had some deep meaning there that this morning we will not have time to express in the greatest ways it needs to be expressed. But his worship was a way to thank God. Now this morning, very clearly, very simply, you've heard the songs. Okay, you've heard the testimonies. We've read some from the Word of God. The pastor has commented some. We come before God today, hopefully with gratitude, thanking him for what he has done. And today as your pastor, as we close the service, we call for one special thing. We call the people of Central Baptist Church to do what we should do every day, to thank the Lord. This is a day to thank and praise our God for all that he has done, because he is a great God. Now, I don't know what he's individually done in your life, but I know this, as bad as your life may be right now, you have a reason to thank God, because it could always be worse. It could always be worse. Would you stand with me this morning? And as the instruments play, be the final opportunity in this building if you'd like to come and pray before the Lord. And as I said, to me, I think the greatest way to end our Sunday morning service, our last service here at Central Baptist Church, is to make it a day of just thanking God. As I wish you had time to read all of 1 Corinthians 16 and the wonderful wording of David and how much he just thanked God over and over. But whether you come forward or whether you kneel where you're at, would you today just make a sound of thanksgiving unto Almighty God? Would this be the day that we just, with our voices, lift up to Almighty God? And may when you look down at Ponca City and see Central Baptist Church in these next few minutes, may you just have a sweet smell, aroma of an incense called praise that we just lift up to Him and say, thank you, thank you, thank you. This is not a time to remember the bad. This is not a time for the critical, for the negative. This is a time to honor God by thanking His name for all that He's done for us. Whether you've been here a day or 40 years, God's a great God, is He not? So as the instruments play, if you'd like to sing along and sing praise unto the Lord, Brother Steve?
316.
Sing it out loud, 316. Others can come and pray. Others can pray where you're at. But let's just thank the Lord in song and in prayer today as we close our morning service.
I have decided to follow.
You have been listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma, with our pastor, Dr. John Waterloo, and a sermon today, Worshiping God. Today is our final service in our church building located at 6th and Hartford. We have sold this building and will be beginning construction on our new facility north of Ponca City. And in the meantime, we'll be meeting in beautiful downtown Ponca City at the historic Ponkin Building. And if you ever find yourself in Ponca City, I hope you'll stop by First and Grand and let us get to know you better. God bless you. Have a great week. Thank you for listening.
No turning back.